When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Hello, Double Threat listeners. If you joined us for our latest live stream, or if you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Double Threat Pod, or if you're on our Discord chatting it up, you know that we had a wild time this past Saturday in celebration of 100 episodes of Double Threat. So many momentous things happened. We finally had on very special guest, the voice of the Crypt Keeper, John Kassir. And it was, I don't even know what to say. You just have to hear it for yourself. And we also had on our good friend Anthony Atamanik to play the Crypt Keeper's brother and Leatherface. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. It was an absolutely unforgettable Double Threat experience. And if you missed the live stream and you want to watch it, we are making it available to Forever Dog Plus subscribers starting today. So you just go to foreverdog.plus to sign up, or you click on the link in the show notes. It'll take you right there. But that's not all you get with Forever Dog Plus. This is very exciting. We are going to start making video episodes of Double Threat available to Plus subscribers each and every week. You've been asking for this for a while. You've been patient with us, and we finally got our act together on this. We're doing video episodes every week. And everything on Plus is ad-free. The video and the audio episodes, you get both. They're both ad-free. And that, even that's not all, because we're also going to start doing bonus content on Forever Dog Plus that Double Threat fans are going to love. I'm not talking about, you know, phone it in bonus content. This is going to be high quality bonus content. And if you watch the live stream, the full live stream, at one point, Julie even teases that the bonus content might be coming as soon as this week. So after you subscribe, keep an eye out for that. But if you're still not convinced, if you heard all that and you're saying, I don't know if that's worth $5 a month. I mean, I like Double Threat, but I don't know. Here's all I ask. Listen to today's episode of Double Threat, the one you're about to hear. It's the first hour of the 100th episode live stream, a little less than an hour. Listen to it. And when you're done listening to it, if that's all you want, if you're fine with what you heard and you're ready to move on with your day, no worries. We'll be back here same time, same place next Monday with a new episode for you to enjoy. But if you do want more, if you're on the edge of your seat and you want to see the full live stream for yourself, as well as all future episodes of Double Threat, and you want all of it ad-free and you want bonus content, then you're in luck. Go to foreverdog.plus. Or just click on the link in the show notes to sign up. We've got a monthly plan. We've got a discounted annual plan. It's a great deal. We tried to make it a great deal because we love you, and it is. It's a great deal. But even if you don't sign up, we love you anyway. It's your choice. You're all the best. All right, enough about that. On with the show.
Another 100 episodes are out in the world and are under our wing, and another 100 episodes are still on the way. It's a beautiful thing, and another 100 episodes will soon be adored by the listener folks who demand hundreds more here on Double Threat. There's a mountain of podcasts. Some are a slog, some are dumb. A surfeit of podcasts hosted by clods, hacks, and scum. And every day one goes away. Till you find yourself on your podcast app with Julie and Tom. And you download new installs of Double Threat for a soothing balm. Then it doesn't matter if you had cool friends or you went to prom. And you keep on listening to the episodes because you never know if they'll figure out a really stupid bit on their genius show. Did you get the new one? They've got John Kassir. No, they don't. It's my mistake. There's nobody here. See, you said that he was coming, then decided to steer clear. And another 100 episodes will be engineered by Brett. There are billions of podcasts. Some are insane, some are bad. A surplus of podcasts, straining so hard it makes you sad. And everyone brings pain, not fun. Till you find the one that's hosted by your pals and they love you so. Tom Sharpling, Julie Klausner, say our names so they know you know. And these 100 episodes of Double Threat are just gonna grow. Cause we got more stuff to do and things to say and we'll make you laugh. Or at least we'll manage to reduce the pain of your life by half. Have you heard the episode with John Kassir? I'm just kidding, he was absent, he did not appear. He did not show up, he stood us up, or was that unclear? And another 100 episodes are already near. Another 100 episodes for people to hear. Another 100 episodes for people to cheer. Another 100 episodes are finally here.
It.
What's this? What's this? I'm Batman in the night. What's this? It's Joker in a fight.
You saw it. You saw the movie?
No, I was watching you riff about Goth the Batman, and I was you said you watched Nightmare Before Christmas, and I was picturing him around his bat cave picking up different bat things and going, what's this? What's this? A bat boomerang. What's this? It's Robin in my cage. He has a cage for Robin.
He cages Robin at the end of the night? Like he crates him like a dog?
I think it depends on Batman's bat mood.
Yeah, I think it does. I think Batman seems a little...
Oh, and then you were saying he watched Brazil all the time and I was picturing Terry Gilliam. Going, actually, what would he sound like? Batman. Actually, the Batman is...
If I had directed Batman...
There'd be, like, wide-angle lenses of, like, women with too much makeup that are like, I like her because she's disgusting.
Uh-huh.
Terry Gilliam. Yes?
I'm taking my sunglasses off.
I'm putting my sunglasses on. Well, I've got my reading glasses on.
Oh, what?
Oh,
daylight.
Not
a
fan.
I had them on all night. I had them on Hangover style.
Do I look smart? Yes, Hangover 4. It will be.
We can't find Brett.
He'll show up at some point.
No, but I'm saying like he's missing like the hangover.
Oh, I thought you meant now.
Oh no, Brett's around.
Who's getting married the next day?
Oh,
Grimes.
Brett's. It's gonna be Elon Musk and Grimes are patching
it up together.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see the big relationship news?
Oh, you scared me. Oh.
About Dilbert? On or off?
Let me see.
On?
Mm-hmm.
Off.
I'm going to say on.
Hold on. On?
Okay. On. Okay. I get it. Yeah.
On. I put two baby carrots in my nostrils last night on FaceTime.
Uh-huh. I'm going to say on.
On. Did you see the... Dilbert's getting divorced.
I saw the news today and I said, oh boy. Now I guess he's going to have even more of those microwaves are going to be open for business. Right? in that man cave of his in the garage.
I'd like to know what you mean by that. Is because he's microwaving dill burritos and he's overeating because he's sad, or because the microwave?
He had like three microwaves in the kitchen.
And you're remember? Saying now he needs six?
No, I'm saying now he has he doesn't even have to like worry about what she was zapping in there. Like,
oh, he's, I think you're only allowed to eat dill burritos in that house.
Okay. Home. Well, he might have one microwave that's just for dill burritos.
Yeah, it's called the microwave.
But he had another one in there where he was just like,
yeah,
you know, this one, he'd be like, this one's for heating up water so I can make tea.
Right. I remember.
And then he would have another one. He'd be like, this microwave is for dill burritos only. There's a rat inside of it. I'm scared to open it.
He said it's vegan.
I trapped a rat inside of this microwave.
You mean that it's in the microwave, not in the dill burrito?
No, the dill burritos are not made from rats.
What if he makes dill burritos for dogs and there's just a squeaky toy wrapped in a tortilla?
Hey, did you picture a rat getting a dill burrito and just being kind of like, nah, I'm good.
Rat comes to New York City hoping to be the next pizza rat.
Yeah. Steps off the bus like Welcome to the Jungle video with a piece of hay in the rat's mouth. Yeah, and then the rat
ends up outside of Dilbert's.
Welcome to Dill Burritos. We got fun and games. No, right?
So something happens where this rat ends up outside Dilbert's home, which is somewhere in California, I think.
I think it is somewhere in California. Although I could picture him being like in Arizona or something.
Yeah.
Picture him being like, I got all this land and I'm in Scottsdale.
Because his name is Scott?
That's why he picked it on a map. And then he has his phone rings and he has Frau Farbissina just yelling Scott on his phone. That's his ringer for himself.
I did send... These comments are funny, but they're interrupting us.
No, they're better than us.
They're better than us.
First of all, they're better than us. We might as well just leave and you guys keep making comments. We'll watch. This is the real show. You guys are the real show.
I'm not in prison, man. You're the ones in prison.
Yeah, classic Manson logic. Maybe you're the one in prison, man.
Maybe you're the one that's Charles Manson.
No, you're in prison. You're the one.
So this rat ends up outside of Dilbert's mansion. I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't think Scott Adams recycles. I'm going to say, I think it's just one big dumpster.
Where you think he's kind of just like, hey, what's the big deal? It's a couple Sprite bottles.
Right.
I picture him killing a lot of 2-liter Sprite bottles.
You don't think he does the do?
No, I picture him being like Sprite. It's like, it's good because it's got all the high fructose corn syrup and no caffeine.
To him, that would be exciting.
It would be exciting that there's no caffeine in the soda.
Right.
And you'd be like, man, it's kind of on brand with this guy.
Then he goes to the doctor and he's like, am I getting enough Lyman?
Yes. Doctor, do my tests? What's my Lyman count right now? Doctor's like,
what are you talking about?
Oh no, he's doing this Lyman thing again. He goes, your Lyman count 86. Is that high? Nah, it's a little high. I guess you could cut it down by 3, get it to 83.
By 3 Lymans?
That's what I'm gonna do. Oh my goodness, Julie.
What happened?
In the chat.
Tell me.
I'm being told our welcome to the 100th
episode. Welcome to the 100th episode of Double Threat, starring
Julie Klausner.
And we have things going on, and there's a guest in the chat already.
Our first guest is here, and this is a whopper of a guest.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
It's the first of all, that song was insane. That was so amazing.
From Greece. Thank you.
No, your song.
Oh, thank
your song
you.
Was beautiful.
It was very hard to sing. I did my best.
No, you did.
Thank you.
You did your best, and your best was good enough.
Thank you.
You did your best. And I guess your best was good enough.
Thank you. Collaborating with Steve is challenging, but
how would that go down on at karaoke if suddenly you go to a karaoke bar and then like one of those, not like a private room, but one
with
in public.
With Gen Z. Oh, you mean, I don't know.
And then I get on stage and suddenly I'm like, I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. And
I think
can we finally find a way to make things right? Make the magic last for more than... Why am I testing? I can do this. Going to karaoke right now. I'm out of here.
I'll come with you.
No, we both have to talk to our first guest.
I hope this guest is someone, like, special, you know, because we've had...
Oh, this one's special, Julie.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to disparage... No, it's
should
not
we bring our guest on? Should we do it?
Guys,
we got a guest in the waiting room. Guys.
Okay. Brett! Guys. Brett! Hi!
Hi.
Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Hi. We have a guest in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Sure? I know.
Yeah.
You seem strung out, buddy.
Yeah. First of all,
you seem
I don't understand that. Are what? You at the barber shop with that shirt?
Are you in the panic room?
Look, guys.
Where all those exposed cords are freaking... You look... I've never seen him like this, Tom.
No, I see wires.
I'm at the new Forever Dog studio. I got lost. I'm in some back room. I just had to set up back here. I hope this is safe back here. There's a lot of exposed wiring. I got half of my slider outfit on. TBD on that.
I was about to ask about the...
Yeah. No, this is Brett's going for his Eddie Murphy phase.
I'm half slider, half Brett right now. Hopefully I'll be full slider by the end of the episode. TBD, you know, on that.
Slider, half Brett.
He's unhinged.
He is unhinged.
Well, part of the reason I was already unhinged, and then I saw this guest join the waiting room. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, well, I'm seeing this name.
Let's do it. Enough chit-chat.
Let's bring all the right. guest in already. All right.
Announce the guest, please.
We've been waiting a long time for this. Please welcome to Double Threat, the voice of the Crypt Keeper, John Kassir.
Oh, my. It's him. It's John. Oh, my goodness. First of all, look at that hat.
This is DC Comics, man. They look at this. It's got the original Crypt Keeper, the Vault Keeper, and the Old Witch. I love this. It's nice.
John Kassir is here.
This is exciting. John, it's an honor.
The Crypt Keeper's in the house with a groove that's nasty and mean, like the effects of a guillotine. A permanent headache's the end of the mission because you have entered the Keeper's terror vision.
Oh my. I don't even know what to say. John, it's an honor to have you here. It's been a long time coming, but it's all worth it now. And we have so many questions for you. You are the first question I can think of.
What kind of gum are you chewing?
It actually was a one of these little licorice chews that
you get from Granny.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Granny. Yeah. You know, my parents are still alive. My dad's 97 years old. God bless.
Kanahara. Poo, poo, poo.
And my mom's 92.
Amazing.
And back in Baltimore. I'm hoping to get to see them soon. But you just made me think of that when you're talking about Grammy.
What would the Crypt Keeper sound like with a Philly accent?
Or a Baltimore accent?
What's going on here, kids? Be careful what you ask for, hon. don't go down there. Be careful what you ask for. You may get it.
Over the years,
amazing.
You know, playing different characters in movies and television. Anytime I ever wanted to undercut the credibility of the character, I just threw a little bit of that accent.
Sure. Now, what was the year you started doing this? This is 30 plus years now you're in.
Well, 1988 is when we started shooting.
And do you remember? Do you remember getting the call? Like the you have the job, or we want to send you out for this?
Well,
or?
I actually was in the room, but I got a call from my agents. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't know that I made my way up into the television industry through stand-up comedy, and I didn't. I wasn't actually a stand-up comic. But I was when I first started out, I was a theater actor and had done, musicals off Broadway and Broadway and that kind of thing. And, it was a tough way to make a living in New York. I was making more money street performing than I was in the theater.
Can you name one musical? I'm sorry to interrupt you, John, but can you name one musical you were in?
Sure. One of the one that made my career was called Three Guys Naked from the Waist Down. Which a lot of people
I was
like,
in a elementary school production of that.
but it was about stand-up comics.
And I remember that album, the album cover for the original soundtrack, and it was like dudes in sunglasses and like a blue jacket. You're one of those dudes.
I'm holding my head in my hands. Yes,
that's right. Yes, oh my poster, God.
But it was Scott Bakula and Jerry Colker and myself and. It was Think Dream Girls, a musical about stand-up comics. Think Dream Girls, but with stand-up comics. Mm-hmm. And we not only played the three stand-up comics, we also played, you know, the agents and the, you know, the Hedda Hopper type, you know, writers for all the different, you know, Hollywood Reporter and all that stuff. And then we wind up getting on the Tonight Show and our careers take off and we get a TV show about three cops in drag called Hello Fellas.
and then draw a line from that to Tales from the Crypt. You said you got it.
I did sketch comedy for a number of years in a group called Animal Crackers out of Baltimore. And we were, you know, quite the rage there, kind of like Baltimore's version of Second City. And we had toured all over the world for the USO and, you know, now we're working in New York, in the clubs and that kind of thing. But I hadn't really done, anything in the way of stand-up comedy. And then when I got this part, I got my ass into the clubs and I started working out these routines, that I was doing in the show. And, because I didn't really have any material, I was doing a bunch of voices and characters and, you know, my act was all based on a guy who was, addicted to television. And I'd channel TV shows, you know, I'd do like the entire Wizard of Oz in 2.5 minutes and stuff.
As coroner, I must concur, I thoroughly examined her. We represent the Lollipop Guild.
What's them? What's them? That's the Castle of the Wicked Witch. Oh, Dorothy's in that awful place. Oh, I hate to think of her in there. Fellas, we've got to get her out. I got a plan how to get in there, and you're going to lead us.
All right, I'm going in for Dorothy. Wicked witch or no wicked witch, gods or no gods, is just one thing I want you fellas to do.
What's that? Talk me out of it. So while I was doing Three Guys Naked off Broadway, I got seen by these... a guy named Steve Stark from a show called Star Search, which was in its first season. You may remember Brad Garrett won that first season, but they, as they got towards the end of the season, they already had all their people were supposed to be in the finals. And so they had to continue the season and they were like, hey, you know, you're great. We want you on the show. You know, I said, what is a singer? I'm doing a musical. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, they had Sam Harris on the show who was amazing. I was like, I can't sing like that guy. And they're like, no, we want you to come on as a stand-up comic. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really a stand-up comic. It's a part I'm playing. They go, well, you can win $100,000. I'm like, fuck, have you seen my act? So, you know, I went on the show and I guess because I was writing my bits each week that I kept winning, that I kept winning and winning until I got into the semifinals and beat Rosie O'Donnell and then beat Sinbad in the finals and won $100,000. And the next thing I know, I'm in LA doing sitcoms and First and 10 and that kind of thing. And I had really good agents at the Gersh agency. And my my agent, Peter Young at the time, calls me up and says, hey, you know, HBO wants you to come in and audition for a show, Tales from the Crypt. And I'm like, Tales from the Crypt? I love that show. I had the comic books as a kid. I was like, I'm all about that. I was like, you know, I'm thinking I had just done a series, been doing a series, First and 10 on HBO. And I know, you know, what little amount of people had them in their homes at that time. So they weren't getting to see it, you know, as much as some of the other shows would have been. And so I was doing network shows and HBO.
That was back when HBO shows would always have like a lady in a bra
with her shirt off, showing off her chest.
Both sports and comedy. That was their formula for their shows. In fact, First and 10.
I can think of two other things, Mr. Kassir.
Dream On would always be. Well, the Julie Dream was. On.
That was recurring on Dream On.
But there'd always be a scene with a lady changing would be in the middle of every episode.
Yep. Well, it's funny because we had mostly football players on the show. You know, a lot of times they would give me a lot of the scenes as an actor that a funny little guy wouldn't normally get. I played a Bulgarian field goal kicker named Zagreb Skinuski. I could kick 60-yard field goals. So he was like, you know, big deal. But he didn't really understand cause and effect. And, you know, he didn't just walk up to do girls. Hey, I play for the California Bulls. I fuck you both. Yes. You know, woman throw a drink in my face. I throw it back in her face. Ah, she likes me, you know.
So you get the job, but you're not setting out to be a voiceover type part, like not on camera necessarily. That was obviously not a goal. You're a stage actor now. And then what is that transition like? Because that's the road. That's where things caught on fire for you, where you had something that had real legs.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you know, First and 10 was, you know, bona fide hit on HBO. Not because everybody had HBO, but, you know.
But now it's about you, though.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm on camera, obviously, you know, working.
Sorry, John. Go ahead.
If you guys let me finish your questions, I actually could answer them. I went from stage acting and street performing to being on a number of series. I was on three series at the same time when I was doing First and 10 and auditioning for Tales from the Crypt was not an easy thing. They had the top voiceover actors and some stand-up comics. They had Michael Winslow and Charlie Flesher, who had just done, Joel Silver was one of the producers and he had just done Roger Rabbit for them. And, you know, I could tell Kevin Yeager, who had created the Crypt Keeper puppet, was in his studio. And it was just fun for me to walk in there and see the puppet and all of the work that he had been doing for years, creating Freddy and Chucky. And they didn't give him a big budget, so he was creating this puppet, you know, and he was using different parts from Chucky. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but the eyes from the Crypt Keeper were actually Chucky eyes.
That's a scoop!
Which, incidentally, you look like Chucky. I'm sure people tell you that with glasses, but...
Me?
Yes.
Wow, John. Are we getting along? I can't tell.
That's a horror compliment. Who loves horror?
Say it like the Crypt Keeper. Say it like the Crypt Keeper.
Who would not want to be like Chucky?
Okay, there we go. Okay. It goes down a little easier.
A little better.
Yeah. But, I started doing that voice for him and he was like, you know, he was laughing so hard that it made me laugh, which kind of stuck with the character laughing at his own jokes. Mm-hmm. But, the next day he had me doing it for Joel Silver or Richard Donner in their office, which are probably like the biggest guys in the business at the time. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, we'll see you on the set, you know, so that, you know, getting back around to that was getting the call was in the office. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty incredible. You know, it did launch another career for me on top of my voiceover career. I mean, on top of my on-camera career doing mostly sitcoms at that time. And after winning Star Search and any theater that I continued to do, mm-hmm. was this voiceover career, which of course has brought a longevity to my career that you would not expect. Sure. You know, I mean, there's just less and less parts for you once you hit Prickery. But you know,
what was that game show is one of the things we're so fascinated by, the one with the kids and the
Tales from the Crypt game show.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because the history of the comic book was that it was so big with kids and they were trying to figure out how to incorporate it for kids. Mm. And I kept saying, listen, do a live action version of it, you know, and they were like, you know, it's expensive. It's scary for kids. Nobody's going to buy it. And of course, Goosebumps came on the air and mm-hmm. I'm like, see, I told you, blah, 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 blah. You know, mm-hmm. they go, well, we already have a cartoon in the works, which we did with Nelvana, a company in Canada. It was a big hit with kids. And they were like, okay. And there was this wonderful guy. Unfortunately, we lost him a couple of years back, Jack Wall. And Jack was an old advertising guy. And he's like, hey, Booby, I got something new we're going to do with the Crypt Keeper, blah, 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 you know, Bud Light commercials or mm-hmm. whatever he would, you know, I used to call him the Crypt Keeper's pimp, but he didn't like that. But he would come up with these fun, you know, fun character stuff for the Crypt Keeper to do. And he came up with the idea for this game show. They wanted me to go down to Florida to shoot it. And I was like, you know, it's all voiceover stuff. I just record it here and you can play it up. And again, it was a big hit. Everything that this show touched, you know, became a hit.
Mm-hmm.
It took for you to record all the game show audio? Was it like an hour?
You know, it really depended. Like the series, they would, as we were going, they might have one that we shot and one in the works. So I might do one or two episodes at a time. But that kind of thing was something where you didn't have a big budget, you know, for those kind of things. They got to get stuff done. So they may have had, you know, they may have like, gathered up like a bunch of different scripts that they were going to be working on and had me do a bunch of stuff that they could then, you know, they could then use. I mean, it's, you're talking, you know, 25 years ago. So,
like 45 minutes or something, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was relatively fun and easy for me.
I have a question. Were you set when the puppet was on set, or were you at home and would do that later? Like, how did that work?
You know, it depended. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it depended on most of the time I would record in the studio with Kevin because he knew what he was going to do with the puppet and that kind of thing.
Remind me who Kevin is. Kevin Yeager
okay. Made the puppet, but he was also directed most, if not a lot of the Crypt Keeper sequences. And Kevin Yeager is one of the creature makers who's the biggest in the business. He made Chucky and he made Freddy Krueger's look. And he's, you know, like over the last number of years, he's been doing all the dead bodies and all the effects for Bones. And, you know, he was supposed to direct Sleepy Hollow that Tim Burton did. But when Tim Burton wanted to do it, he was like, oh yeah, let's do it together. You know? And he did all mm-hmm. the really cool look and the effects for Sleepy Hollow. And I mean, Kevin is just a genius, you know, I mean, the stuff mm-hmm. that he's done over the years and amazing. Mm-hmm. But he was heavily hands-on with the Tales from the Crypt, with the Crypt Keeper. And he would, instruct and direct the puppeteers it took, you know, three guys just to do the face of the Crypt Keeper, you know? So you had five or six people, depending on if mm-hmm. you're seeing his feet or not. So I would pre-record the way that you would with a rock video, mm-hmm. you know, where you can lip sync to your own rock video or whatever. I would pre-record mm-hmm. and then the puppeteers could all choreograph together to my voice. Mm-hmm. after a while, they got so good, we could almost do interviews live and stuff. Like the guy who did the mouth would be watching me. His name was Brock Winkless. Mm-hmm. And he had on this headgear thing. I'm going to do this. It would move the jaw. And he had these little mm-hmm. toggle switches for the lips. He'd be like, hello, creeps. mm-hmm. You know? And so he could watch me and almost in real time follow me. You know, they mm-hmm. were pretty incredible. But mm-hmm. if they had somebody on the set like Whoopi or Whoopi Goldberg or Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the people mm-hmm. who were talking to the Crypt Keeper, you know, they'd need me off camera to talk to the actors so they didn't have to play to a puppet, you know, mm-hmm. like recording. And because there was no reason to have the puppeteers working the puppet if he was off camera or mm-hmm. whatever. So I would go down to the set for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I could go down to the set anytime I wanted, though, which was a lot of fun mm-hmm. to go see people work. I remember seeing Tim Curry working on Death of Some Salesman playing Winona. And, you know, mm-hmm. he played the three characters, which he was nominated for an Emmy for, the mother, the father, and the daughter. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite episodes for sure. But he mm-hmm. it was a pretty amazing to watch him work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool. And what does this many years in, what does 2022 hold for a John Kassir?
Gosh, you know, I mean, I the pandemic was a double-edged sword. I mean, work-wise, I mean, obviously mm-hmm. it was tough for everybody in terms of being what it was, but, mm-hmm. I have a small studio at home that I was able to do all my voiceover gigs. So I felt mm-hmm. really fortunate to be established, you know, in that end of my work. Mm-hmm. you know, I was offered some movies and that kind of stuff, but I, you know, wasn't going to get on a plane and fly to Atlanta, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, work on something, before they established any kind of, mm-hmm. you know, COVID protocol and stuff like that. A lot of people don't know this, but I'm type 1 diabetic, which of course mm-hmm. is a very, hard disease to grow up with, but it's a harder
that
disease.
Sucks, man. Mm-hmm. That sucks.
Yeah. But it is what it is. I live with it. You know, I'm, you know, hopefully I'll have my parents genes the rest of them. Mm-hmm. I love to be 97 and 92 like them, you know. It's, but
in Tales from the Crypt, did you always know what the episode was about, or did you just record the bumpers and you were like, I'll figure it out later?
No, I always would get the script first because, you know, there's things, mm-hmm. I mean, we had great writers, but, you know, and eventually I got to improvise some fun stuff. If you notice in the beginning, the first couple of seasons, one or two seasons, mm-hmm. we didn't have a lot of money to work with. So the puppet's mouth didn't work very well. Mm-hmm. So he had to talk slower and more ominously. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, once the show was a hit, they gave Kevin a little more money and he could talk mm-hmm. and we could be more of that jovial, you know, stand-up comic kind of delivery mm-hmm. that we got to do. And then I would start, you know, I'd be cracking them up doing the Crypt Keeper mm-hmm. and say something like, you know, I love a girl who'll give you head and then let you keep it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Of course, it was in the script the next week.
Were there ever times you go down to say, you'd be like, why is the Crypt Keeper dressed like he's in a barbershop quartet?
Totally. I just loved it. They just went out of their way to make the smallest little details. Mm-hmm. If you go back and watch those, there's details in those scenes that mm-hmm. you just didn't catch the first time because you're watching the Crypt Keeper so intently. But there's sure. like little weird things going on in the background. They had, you know, one of the major producers is the guy that he's sawing in half. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they use my name in the episode, you know, mm-hmm. Dr. Kassir, you know, I mean, it's like they just did all this stuff that the comic book did back in the day that made it popular and edgy and, you know, banned. The reason they have codes on comic books today were because of EC Comics and their how controversial they were. Mm-hmm. Chucky, are you having a vodka there? Or can you pour me? Can you pour me a shock tail?
John, you are too much. I have a question. If I'm not interrupting you.
I love you, by the way. I don't think that I'm, if I'm dissing you, with Crypt Keeper, that's what
I can
do.
I can handle it. I have a question. Why did you ghost us, and why did you ghost Brett in the Cameo app? What happened there, John?
I ghosted you?
Whoa. Yeah. It was like on brand because I know you're like a Halloween scary guy, but you ghosted us a couple times, Brett. Am I off base here?
Well, you know, I mean, we really appreciate having you on.
Have you ever seen a reverse triathlon? Have you ever heard of that sporting event, John? A reverse triathlon. Brett is about to compete in one. Go ahead, my friend.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know what? It's about
swim backwards and I missed our first appointment.
Rendezvous?
I mean, our first rendezvous to do it because I had the wrong time zone.
So
it
that's happens. Brett. That's on
well,
Brett.
You know, I go went on and then all of a sudden
Brett, will you apologize to Mr. Kassir for not clarifying time zones?
And could you make it really how do I put this? Could you grovel a little bit?
Yeah, Brett.
Yeah.
I could get down on my bony little knees.
No, he's groveling to you, John.
No.
Oh, Brett, I see. This guy's no groveling
Brett.
Needed.
This guy's a freaking legend, Brett.
Yeah, John. I'm sorry. You know, I was a little miffed, you know, when you didn't show up at the previous show and I was kind of, you know, I was on here saying, oh, well, who's this guy think he is? He thinks he can, you know, not show up to our show. And now I realize, though, you know, that's on me. Like, it's, you know, this is, you know what, you're a busy guy.
This is a good guy.
It's an easy thing to happen. And, you know,
I feel terrible. I feel like,
Brett, I'm not going to allow you to just hem and haw around it. Mr. Kassir, repeat after me. Mr. Kassir.
Thank you. Mr. Kassir.
I apologize.
Sir.
Mr. Kassir, sir. I apologize.
Sir, Mr. Kassir.
No apology necessary.
No, please, John. I want to do this. I want to mm-hmm. clear the slate. I want to set the record straight.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Mr. Kassir, sir.
Yes.
I apologize. From the bottom of me heart. For not clarifying time zones with you. Can you ever forgive me?
I think maybe amp that one up a little bit, Tom. Maybe give it a little more.
Can you ever, you give it hard. I'm giving you the dialogue.
Can you ever find it in your heart to bestow upon me even an ounce of the forgiveness deserve.
You're going too.
You have my heart if I had one.
No, look, you're a legend. John Kassir's a legend. This is exciting.
I want to apologize for leaving.
I would be the one who would feel bad in that situation.
Julie, will you apologize to Mr. Kassir now?
Absolutely.
For me, it's all about the soul.
Absolutely. Not now, though, because actually, I just ordered from Zazie's and I closed out my tab accidentally.
What did you get?
Two vegan slices, just cheese slices.
What do you get on your pizza, John Kassir? What does a John Kassir get on his pizza pie?
Let's see. My mom, my grandmother, and my mom were amazing pizza makers. I mean, they made the amazing pizza, the crust. And so I have the recipe for my mom's crust. So I like to make my own pizza. If I'm going to buy a pizza, I like, you know, I mean, Italy is one of my favorite places to travel to, and I've been many, many times. And to get a nice, you know, wood oven cooked pizza with anything they'll put on it, which is usually a fresh tomato sauce, fresh cheese, you know, just your basic margarita is great with some basil or whatever. But, you know, I've had pizza with seafood on it. I've had it with prosciutto and noodle on it. I mean, really, you know, fucking good pizza. But if I'm going to make pizza, I make my own sauce. And there's some special little spices and stuff in there. People are like, what is that spice? You know, and I can't tell you or I'd have to kill you.
Oh, John.
Well, speaking of seafood, I see somebody else in the waiting room here. Oh, my gosh. Another guest. You might, John, I don't know. You might know this person. The name just says, I don't even know if we booked this person, but we'll bring him on. See what
I love the way you guys always like to, you know, get together and start talking about these things. I always feel like I'm being set up for something.
No, it's disorganization.
Mr. Kassir, we got a producer on the show who doesn't even know that there's different time zones in the United States.
I'm a slob. I'm scum. Let's bring on this next guest. It just says Tom.
Yeah, what's it saying?
It says Tom B. Keeper. I don't know who this is. Let's bring him on.
Hello. How are you? Oh, Crypt, it's been such a long time. It's your brother, Tom.
My job is still safe.
It's your brother, Tom.
I know. That's why I went to the semiconductor industry. I'm down here in Texas at South by Southwest looking at some new startups to see which ones want to buy my semiconductors. What happened, Crypt? You don't come home anymore. Mother's been asking for you.
So this is the brother to the Crypt Keeper?
Yes, Tom Tomb Keeper. Can't you see it in the name?
Tommy Toon King Keeper. I love that. Can you do a leg kick for me?
Yes, you bet, baby. I can do a leg kick. No!
Now that's impressive.
4 years of Joffrey, not for nothing.
Tommy Toon was my favorite choreographer.
I could never do the puns as good as my brother. Oh, I looked at him so much. Or should I say I looked down? Or I guess straight ahead because it's a crypt, so it really isn't up or down. It's more just a small house for dead people.
That's amazing.
Anyway, South Pie's going well. I've met 4 people I'm really interested in partnering with. And what else? I went and got some barbecue today. There's a huge Ukraine protest in front of the governor's mansion.
Fabulous. And what are your views on the Ukraine these days?
I'm sorry, Tom C, I'll say. Are you referring to the Ukraine?
Ooh, yes, the boo crane. That's what I call it. You know, I'll say I stand with the Ukrainian people because they're going to be filling up tombs.
Oh, stop it! No, we're shutting this one down. We're shutting it down.
No. From this Ukrainian comic, I can do it.
Tom C.
I can make Tom feel like shit in a second. My wife is half Ukrainian.
So. I'm full blown, baby. And let me tell you, it's terrible what's happening over there. That Putin.
I was full blown in Florence once.
Oh, I get it. Oral sex, yes. No, I think it's a real humanitarian tragedy.
I'm gonna check on my pizza. B, I'm gonna text my friend Anthony at Tamanic. Don't mind me. Go ahead. I'm gonna text.
Wow, what do you want to say to him?
Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Well, well, the phone's charging, so hopefully it'll come through on the messages on here.
Brett.
And scene.
Where'd Brett go?
Hey, I'm here.
Let me tell you, I'm coming into this blind.
Where are we at, Brett, in terms of the time?
We are getting close to the end of having really appreciate you coming on the show, John. This was a true treat for us. I think we got time for maybe just, you know, one more question or one more thing for John, then we'll let him go.
I will throw in while we're waiting. I will be, you know, now that everything is toned down in terms of people being able to get out and about again, and let's pray that that continues through the year. You know, I try to get, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be busy all the time as an actor, but mm-hmm. I'm also feel fortunate enough to have a fan base that appreciates, especially Tales from the Crypt. And so I do try to get out to the conventions. You know, if you follow me on Facebook or John Kassir on Twitter or Instagram, I don't really spend a lot of time on, but I do have an account and I do check it. You know, I will post where I'm going to be and when I'm going to be there. In the meantime, I've been doing a lot of cameos for people and that kind of thing. And I don't overcharge for them because I make it friendly for the fans. You know, I know people are charging like hundreds of dollars and I just, you know, I charge what I think people can afford and try to do birthdays. And that's been a lot of fun.
And you can correspond with you on Cameo, right? You can send messages to people.
You can. I do have, you know, you can become a you know, they have.
You can correspond with people.
Exactly. They have DMs mm-hmm. and they also have, you know, you can join as a fan on Cameo as well. Use the website, not the Apple app, because it just doesn't have as many things on the Apple app.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Sure.
On it. Yeah.
I just wanted to say I'm appearing on something called Camaro. That's where for $20 I'll hang out in a Camaro with you. It doesn't work. The engine's totally blown out. $20, I'll just hang out with you for 5 minutes and tell you about semiconductor chips and why our global supply chain has fucked us.
Well, that sounds like a good thing, especially with the price of gas.
We always used to have this argument about the price of gas over the dinner table, and father and mother would scream at us.
John Kassir, you are a legend, and we appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today. It's a total treat, and we are so appreciative of you being on Double Threat 100th episode. Thank you.
I'm so glad I got to nail it down with Double Threat.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Could you just say before you go, could you just say before you go, welcome to Double Threat with Tomb Sharpling and Ghouli Klausner, please.
Tomb Sharpling.
Yeah.
And Ghouli Klausner.
Sharpling. I like to get this right because I'm a professional.
Sure.
And Ghouli
Klausner.
Klausner. Oh, I love that. And you are the cutest, most gorgeous Chucky we've ever seen.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, wow.
And kiddies, please check out Double Threat with Tomb Sharply.
It's Sharpling, S-C-H-A-R. P-L-I-N-G.
Tomb Sharpling and Ghouli Klausman.
That's it.
Klausman.
And that's right, kiddies. Check out Double Threat with Tomb Sharpling and Ghouli Klausman. But be careful what you ask for. You may get it.
Perfect.
No notes. Perfect. Great job, John.
John, thank you so much.
This was everything and more. Everything and more. Thank you so much for joining us.
You guys are great. Thanks for mixing.
Thank you. You're the best in the business, and we thank you so much.
The pleasure is all mine. I'm glad we finally got to do this.
Rest in pieces.
I love that. See, now my job is at risk. She was better than you, Crypt Keeper's brother.
What?
Kill me now. Oh, wait. I'm already dead.
Bye, John.
Bye, John.
Thank you so much. Bye, John.
Is it just the four of us?
All right, we're going to stop the episode there. I'm very sorry. But if you want to see the entire live stream, including what happens immediately after that interview, including Anthony as Leatherface, including the iconic Jackie Hoffman trying to connect to StreamYard for 20 minutes and her computer not cooperating. We love you, Jackie. Including an incredible song by Tom, including assistant producer Max dressed as the Joker, dressed as a nurse, including former guest Death the Slider returning to the show, including my first slide, and so much more. Just go to foreverdog.plus or click on the link in the show notes and you can watch the entire live stream. I mean, don't you want to see Tom and Julie's faces during that John Kassir interview? Go watch the live stream. You owe it to yourself. But if I keep this up any longer, I'm going to start groveling and you don't want to see that. I love you all. You're the best. Thank you for supporting Double Threat through 100 episodes. And here's to 100 more. Or should I say 100 gore?
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.